Welcome to Disney A, the Canadian-themed Disney Travel Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Brandon.
And I'm Krista.
Was that dramatic enough for
you? It
was
super dramatic.
I'm smiling.
I know. It's like, why are you so dramatic?
I don't know. Just felt like it was appropriate.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Because of all the news.
So much news. So you know how we said we were going to talk about MCU Phase 4 and Black Panther this week?
Well, funny story. We still haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, exactly. We were traveling and then we came home and there were flight delays and we've just been catching up on work ever since. So it didn't
work
happen.
Work and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That's the title of my memoirs.
Work and sleep. And we're still catching up on work and sleep. So we still haven't seen it, but we have so much news that it was going to end up being an incredibly long episode anyway. So let's just focus on the news instead.
Yeah, because we recorded last week's episode ahead of time, so we didn't have any news. Exactly. So we're like 2 weeks of news behind, and there's been quite a bit of news.
There's been a couple big things. Yeah.
So let's just chitty-chat the news.
Chitty-chat the news. Now I'm going like chitty chitty bang bang.
Chitty chitty bang bang.
We love you. And okay. Yeah. All right, before we get to that, Brandon, what are you drinking right now?
I am drinking Hookin' Ain't Easy.
Wow.
Which is a fishing. Yep. It's named after fishing.
It is named after fishing.
It's a type of
beer. Actually is named after fishing.
It's about fly fishing.
Yeah, we live in an area that has really good fly fishing, and yeah, it's supposed to be funny.
it's just a standard old light ale.
Nice. I am drinking a blackberry sour.
Hipster. You're very hipster. Yeah.
I like sours.
No. Sours are gross.
Okay. Nope. Also, Brandon, what is your current nerd thing this last week? Or this week? Or right now? Or whatever?
Well, I mean, we've been spending all day playing Pokemon.
Yeah, we're recording this on Saturday.
It's pretty nerdy.
Yep, stayed up late playing last night as part of our whole needing to catch up on sleep thing.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. That was my nerd thing, too.
Yeah, I got you to play a video game.
Yeah, that was an Animal Crossing or Disney Dreamlight Valley.
Still in the same vein.
Yep, definitely. I like my cozy games.
How do you feel about Pokemon?
I like them because they're cute little animal things, and
you like collecting them.
Yes, and I catch them all.
Yeah, Pokemon. I was into Pokemon when I was a kid, so it's kind of like a nostalgia blast.
Right, and my youngest brother used to watch the TV show a lot, and he had like a poster of at that time all the Pokemon up, and so I remember. I have, like, some reference to Pokemon, but I didn't, like, wasn't super into him or
Pokemon,
anything. But
Pokemon, gotta catch them all. Okay, yeah.
But I think they're super, super cute, and it's, like, in my wheelhouse as far as little animals and such, so.
Yeah, there's some good ones.
Yep.
What's your favorite Pokemon so far?
Lechonk.
Yeah, you like Lechonk.
I like pigs, and his name is Lechonk, and so I love him.
He's pretty cute.
Yeah, he's really cute. What's your favorite one?
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There's been a couple good ones. I do like the fire starter this time.
Yeah.
Furococo or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I really liked the kitty.
I renamed
and then
him, so I
she evolved. And I still like her fine. I know there was...
That was Sprigato.
Yeah, Sprigatito or something. Mm. And people weren't super happy. I liked her better in her original state. She was really cute then. But I mean, she's fine. I really liked her then. She was a cute little kitty who grew flowers out of her head.
Meow.
Exactly. Also, we had some catching up to do, so we watched two Andor episodes this last week. Spoiler-free gut reaction, what do you think?
So, yeah, they're going all in on the three episode arcs, as we kind of figured.
Yep.
So we watched a conclusion of an arc episode and then a starting arc episode, so you can't really compare the two.
No, that's true.
It's not really fair.
No.
But yeah, that 10th episode was something else.
I was trying to think. It might be don't get me wrong, your first episode of Mando, seeing Grogu and everything, like, was awesome. This might be technically the best episode of any of the Star Wars shows so far.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, don't get me... Also, the Obi-Wan fight with Vader was really cool.
That was good.
That was, like, a cool moment. Whereas this whole episode, I was like... Like, I'm still not okay.
Yeah. Mando and, like, certain parts of Obi-Wan and stuff are, like, a nice bag of potato chips. This is, like, perfectly cooked prime rib.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
There's it's...
This is, like, a level that there's a lot more
depth and yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It's really hard to talk about more without doing spoilers, so we're not going to talk about it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, yes, then we watch the next one, which, as you said, is the beginning of the next arc. And this will be the last arc of the season.
The last arc, yeah. The last three episodes. We only have two episodes left.
I know, it's crazy. But if you... Like, we've been raving about it. Consider this a fair warning. We are going to do a spoiler-filled episode down the road. Next week, we'll talk about this more, but we are going to be starting our Christmas, our holiday focus. But we're going to interrupt it for Andor. An Andor summary.
We'll wish everyone a happy life day, which was a couple days ago, actually.
Yeah, it was, actually. Yeah. Happy life day, by the way.
That's your intro to the holiday season, is life day.
It's true.
I think it starts the whole thing off.
Yeah, I like it. Okay. Did you sing the Leia song?
No.
Do you want a red robe, though?
Yes, I do.
You can get them in Disney.
I think I'm part Wookiee, so I would fit in.
That's fair. That's totally fair. yes, so you have a couple weeks to get caught up for Andor, and you should be watching it anyway because it's amazing. Okay, anything to add? We're going to kind of like skip over the news as a separate thing because the whole episode is going to be news now.
News.
Disney A News Update. Okay, Brandon, where do you want to start with the news? I did a you impression.
Very good. Thank so you. Good. Okay, well, let's start with something that we already kind of knew.
Yep.
But they did officially announce the date for Toontown reopening.
Yes.
So Mickey's Runaway Railway is going to open
January.
January 27th or something like that.
Yeah. As part of the Disney's 100th.
Yeah, it's going to be the first day of the 100th celebration, which is going to go all year. But they're going to have walls up and you can't go into the rest of Toontown.
Exactly.
Which is kind of weird. But anyway... March 8th, they're going to open the new Toontown. Toontown 2.0.
Yes.
With all the fake grass and the big tree.
I'm okay that we're not going to be there for this right after, but I'm really curious to see coverage of it.
If you listen to our episode about Toontown.
We actually didn't do a focus on Toontown. Did you know that?
Oh, we didn't?
No.
I thought I just remember focusing on it because it was so bad.
When we were ranking the lands.
Oh, it was a land ranking. Well, if you listen to our episode about land ranking, I kind of give Toontown a hard time.
Yeah, we both do.
I think deservedly so.
100%.
So it did need some love, and I think they're doing a decent job.
If it matches what all the concept stuff is, it is... I'm optimistic.
And, like, you have to go in with what the expectations are. It's like, kind of a... side attraction for little kids to
burn
off some energy.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I'm saying we're not the target, but it'll will be fun to wander through and see people playing. And if, you know, the concepts that they're doing, I think, are great. I used to like going, you never got to go when it first opened.
No.
Whereas I did. And it would be fun to we're going to go escape the crowds. Well, I mean, when it first opened, it was still crowded there. But you got to go run off some energy. And it was kind of like the treehouse or the Pirate's Lair on Tom Sawyer's Island or something like that. Or on the other side, the trail.
The Redwood Trail. Which we did that when we were there in the spring and it was fun.
That's exactly what it was like. And it was, you know, it was a good posing for pictures kind of place and let little Billy go jump off of, at the time there was a ball pit and it was a whole thing. So I think reimagining that is actually a really good idea. And the whole concept was originally supposed to be, this is where the Toons lived.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, if they can actually do the theming right, I think that's kind of fun, but.
Yeah. And they're also re-theming the little mini roller coaster there, which makes you kind of sad.
It does, because I love Gadget so much. But they are doing Chip and Dale's. So they're not getting rid of the Chip and Dale thing at all, but I get it because no one knows who Gadget is anymore.
No.
Except us millennials, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But she was even in the new Chip and Dale movie. She was a small part in it.
They referenced her. Yeah, very, very tiny.
But I adored Gadget. In fact, my first pictures of my first trip of Disneyland is me posing with Gadget. Cause that was back then. I was six.
Yeah, back when it was a new show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're
so
old.
So that's kind of, thank you, same age.
Oh, right.
So that's kind of sad. I mean, I understand it, and I'm glad they're not getting rid of the whole thing, but it'll always be Gadget's Go Coaster in my mind.
Yeah, I'm very curious to see the finished product and how they incorporate this walkable fake grass, because all the concept art has, like, they've put in fake grass in other parts of Disneyland already, but they don't have anywhere where you can, like, walk on it. So
yeah, it's
I'm very curious as to how this is going to work, because that could change, like, theme park design in general.
It's, like, a way bigger deal than I think a lot of people are thinking of, because one of the biggest complaints about, well, amusement parks, but theme parks as well, is, like, oh, it's just, like, a concrete slab.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This is really cool.
That affects your, like, air temperature and everything.
Totally.
Like, it's a thing.
It is going to make, because we travel during the summer a lot, because, you know, teacher, and it is going to make theme parks much more pleasant in the summertime. I'll tell you that, if there's all of a sudden you're not walking on concrete the whole time.
A little bit of sun absorption in that fake grass.
And Disney, you know, has always had trees and flower beds and stuff like that. But if all of a sudden you can drop off the kidlets to go run around on the grass and, like, I don't know, climb up. And the tree looks really cool, too. They kind of have, like, an actual tree, but they have roots, like, fake roots coming out so kids can, like, climb all over it. And
yeah
I don't know.
And
the splash thing around Donald's also looks really cool.
It does. The concept art shows a lot of lighting things, and so we'll see if it's actually open in the evening time.
Yeah.
Because they always used to close it for fireworks.
Yeah.
Although, I have a feeling that fireworks themselves are on the way out in general and in the next few years.
Mm-hmm. Well, every time there's the slightest bit of wind, anything above a very small breeze, they can't run the fireworks anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And they just rely on the projections then. So I can understand why they would want to make sure it's just, you know, with the exception of maybe, like, Independence Day or something like
that. Yeah, they'll have some special, your New Year's Eves, your Independence Days.
And especially when you're looking
at your Arbor Days. You know, the big ones.
And especially when you're looking at a CEO who likes to nickel and dime, that's an extra excuse to charge a little bit more on those days so you can see the fireworks shows.
True.
Whereas the rest of the time...
And save money on the other days, because fireworks ain't cheap.
God, no. And so, yeah, the rest of the time it can be projections. And then, of course, they've been using drones and other parts,
that's what
too.
That's the future. There's going to be drones. You're going to have... You can do... It's not quite the same as fireworks, but you can do way different stuff with drones.
It's still a nighttime spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And I love fireworks, but I think I'm okay with this. I would rather know than be all excited for fireworks and then be like, oh, and now it's windy and we can't
have
them.
Yeah, that is a little bit of a bummer if you've, like, been waiting for an hour in your spot, which...
Well,
happens.
Oh yeah, definitely. And especially for, like, us who are coming out of town, we would have, like, this is our one night to watch fireworks.
Right.
You
plan ahead,
happen,
and if it doesn't happen, then you're out of luck. And
So in our upcoming trip, we have one night that we're like, and we'll watch fireworks because we have Fantasmic booked. If you want to hear about that, listen to our dining packages discussion a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, so that'll be our, like, regular fireworks. I'm pretty sure we're going to try and watch the New Year's Eve fireworks.
Oh, yeah. The New Year's Eve, yes. But I'm like, if that one doesn't, okay, well, they still do the projections, unless it's really windy or stormy, of course. But, like, we're not trying to watch regular fireworks another night.
Yeah. And
so.
I'm not the biggest fireworks person anyway.
But New Year's.
New Year's, yeah, I mean.
That's a whole thing.
It's a thing, and it'll be super busy.
Us and everyone else.
Super busy. I don't know. Might have to, like, go watch it from the side in, like, Batu or something.
Oh, that might be fun.
Because you can see the fireworks from Batu.
That might be fun.
I don't know.
Okay, cool.
Less crowds there.
Thoughts, hey? Be fun.
Yeah.
Okay, so yes, Toontown reopening March 8th.
And then the other little bit of park news that we kind of knew about, but is now official, Mando and Grogu are in the park.
Yeah, and they look awesome.
They're, like, really good.
I heard a lot of Twitter feedback, basically. Well, Twitter.
For now, yeah.
Yeah, about how people were, like, really upset because it was really hard to see them. It was really crowded and everything on their first day.
Well, yeah.
Well, of course. But apparently that was only for a couple hours. Later in the day, they were just like any of the other characters walking around.
Hmm.
I'm like, well, that's better than I would have expected.
Yeah.
So,
I don't know.
Anyway, that's really cool. So if you want to see Grogu and Mando, you can now see Grogu and Mando.
In Batuu.
Yes, in Batuu. Batuu East as well, or just West?
Just West, I want to say.
That's pretty cool.
I'm pretty sure. I don't 100% know, but I've only seen it talked about at Disneyland, and that's seemed what they referenced at D23, kind of like a proof of concept.
Right.
And this is just basically the final nail in the coffin for the timeline.
Right.
Of Batuu, like...
Well, good for it, though. They didn't need a timeline for this.
No,
You either do it and you lean into it hard, or you don't do it at all.
Yeah, there's not enough of the interactive, like, ongoing story stuff that they had originally kind of planned to make it worth locking yourself into that. Just make it Star Wars Land, and it's fine.
And everyone will be happy, I promise. Mm-hmm. Have you seen little videos and things like clips of
just
them?
Little, like...
They look great, though?
They do look,
so good.
Really good.
So good.
Really good.
We're going to have to make a point of this one. We lucked out.
Hopefully they're still there.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. We really lucked out with R2 and Chewie, which were the ones that we were like not sure if we were going to get to see or not. So fingers crossed. I don't know how limited this one is.
Yeah, there's no like...
They
didn't put dates on what
they just said limited.
Right.
But I mean, that could mean, you know, 2 days a week, or that could mean for 3 weeks and then they're done.
Right. But I would say he's going to keep appearing until season 3, which will be in February.
That's kind of what I figured. Like surely through the Christmas season anyway. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It also depends. I mean, he's walking around with an audio animatronic.
Yeah. Who
time,
knows?
It, so.
Maybe it breaks. And
like a quite a sophisticated looking one too. So that's also going to depend a lot on that. It's really cool when it works, but if it doesn't, it just can't be out. So. Yeah. Anyway, they look awesome, and I'm really hoping they're there. Couple more news items. Let's talk the one that came out literally as we were traveling. I was like, of course.
Yes.
Like, the day after we recorded.
I read this like in the airport.
You did.
When
it was so funny.
Waiting for our plane. Well, we didn't actually wait on the way there. It was nice. On the way back, it was a different story. But that's the fun of traveling. And I'm not going to complain about it because we didn't get to travel for 2.5 years. So.
That is an excellent point.
I will take the pains of traveling with a smile upon my face.
Yep, that I'm okay with that too.
So they finally announced what the heck they're doing with Tarzan's treehouse.
Okay, so before we talk about it too much, most people have probably heard this, but if not, we will explain. Were you surprised?
I was pretty darn surprised.
Me too. I would have lost a lot of money if I was betting on this.
Now that I see what they're doing with it, I'm slightly less surprised.
Yeah, but they first announced.
But still, I would think they would have gone more generic and not.
I'm pleasantly surprised.
Let's say what they're actually doing.
Okay. So this is basically, it's called the Adventureland Treehouse. They're making it themed Adventureland, but it's like an homage to the original Swiss Family Robinson treehouse.
What's the actual name? Because you had it.
Yeah, I had it up here. The Adventureland treehouse inspired by Walt Disney's Swiss Family Robinson.
Okay, inspired by, yeah. So, because that was the original attraction, was the Swiss
Family
Robinson.
Which you never got to see.
No.
I did, it was actually really cool.
The Swiss Family Robinson treehouse is what it was called.
Yes.
Originally. And so they're basically taking it back to that, which kind of shocks me because they're all about IPs. And this is... technically an IP
from how long ago?
The 40s?
Well, not that quite.
I know, I'm just...
They did a couple movies. They did one in the 40s, but the one that's more common was what at the height of all of their like TV movies ones, when they did like Pollyanna and all those other ones, was right in there. So that was like in the 60s.
60s, 70s?
60s,
something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, old. It's super old.
I would have lost so much money on this bet.
What this makes me leads me to believe is that there's going to be a rebooted Swiss Family 100%. Robinson on Disney Plus.
I agree.
Or they're planning on it or something.
Some kind of series.
I think actually would work. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset about that. But
Can I explain why? 1960 on the nose, by the way.
So old.
Can I explain why I think we're giving credence to this idea? Have you ever seen the 1960 movie?
No.
I had a few times. And so it's a... And of course I read the
book. Maybe once,
like
when I was like six or okay. something. Like, I don't
so
know.
In it, there's like a mom and a dad and two sons. Well, in the description of the Adventureland Treehouse, they talk about each room being specific. So this is going to be mom's room. And they mention a daughter. There's no daughter in the original movie.
Well, yeah. And that.
So I'm like, oh. Now, they're just like, oh, we're just, you know, being inspired. It does say inspired. So that doesn't mean. This is actually really smart because it's kind of an IP, but they're like also free to play with it as much as they want to make it work.
And you got your nostalgia for your Disney nerds.
But it's also something new for the newbies. It's actually quite clever. Mm-hmm. But it's really cool because then they can do whatever they want. They're not tied to the IP, but they still, by being inspired by it, it makes everyone happy.
But yeah, I would have lost a lot of money on this. There was some rumors that they were going to make it Swiss Family Robinson again. And I thought,
no
scoffed.
Way. Yeah.
Like, scoffed at
I did
that.
Too. Literally snorted. I was like, no.
Like, why would they do that?
But this is how they did it. Yeah. They didn't do Swiss Family Robinson. They did Inspired by Swiss Family Robinson. And by making it just an Adventureland treehouse, they don't have, like, they can maintain, but they don't have to update it every time something becomes dated.
Right. And they can, I don't think they've announced that they're tying it into that whole sea thing that was also speculated, the Explorers League or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers or something like that. Yeah.
But they could.
Exactly. There's so much. Well, I mean, they didn't do a complete rehaul, but they have a tie-in now to Jungle Cruise.
Exactly, right?
Like, there's
it's,
so much
that's
freedom
easy
here.
Enough to play around with. Yeah. Okay, well.
Anyway, very, very happy.
I'm curious
very
to
pleasantly
see
surprised.
What it looks like. That it'll be a few.
Oh, yeah. It'll be a bit.
I don't even know if they're going to finish it next year, but, well,
probably
by summer.
Probably in 2023.
They're working on it hard now, so.
Yeah. And they've been kind of like tinkering away here and there for a while. I think we'll see it probably next summer. I think they'll want to have it out during the 100th anniversary.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, especially because it's like inspired by such a classic thing. The original treehouse was so much more interactive than the Tarzan's treehouse.
Oh, okay.
With the exception that the Tarzan's treehouse did have that area that was like the wreck in the camp when you made all the noise with the different things, which was from the movie. But it was a lot more like, oh, we're going to work this water pulley over here and we're going to have this. The water wheel is a very big fixture of it. And so it was a lot more interactive that way. Again, another nice place to like throw some kids for a while. And few cast members needed to run.
Right. You get like one at the entrance and one at the exit kind of thing.
And things don't break down very much on something like this.
Yeah, you keep it simple. And
yeah, exactly. So this is great. I keep thinking about it from like a Disney business standpoint right now, right?
Yeah, it's a fairly small footprint, especially when you take out that stump that they did.
Yeah, it's true.
And it can still suck in at least a sizable number of people, so.
Yeah, it's at a good location to like grab some people from that weird bottleneck there by pirates and stuff. So, yeah, I think it's a really great inclusion and very pleasantly surprised. And I would have lost a lot of money on it. Everyone thought Encanto.
Swiss Family Robinson. That's weird.
But it's not. It's Adventureland inspired by Swiss Family Robinson.
It's still Swiss Family Robinson. I don't know.
Do you know what I also call this? This they may as well have named it Here You Go, Hipsters.
Yeah.
Or Millennials.
Not even Millennials. Like, that's old.
No, that's true. Here you go, people who spend the Disney money.
Yeah.
Please stop being mad, internet people. Okay, what did on She-Hulk, he called it Twitter armor.
yeah
that's what that is.
That's gonna be a retro reference here in the next week. yay Twitter.
Yeah.
okay so, and then this is the really big news. Well, kind of big news. I don't know,
I think it's big.
It's going to inspire a lot of discussion on our part,
yes,
I think. So,
100%.
While we were gone, the quarterly earnings report came out.
Yes.
And as an accountant, I was kind of interested in this.
Yeah, totally.
Knowing a little bit about financial reporting and publicly traded companies and stuff like that. I find this kind of stuff fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, the gist of it was is that the last quarter that they were reporting on was not good.
Right,
it was really bad.
There's been a lot of talk about this, but as someone who actually kind of understands what these numbers all mean, you're like, it's even worse than what when they usually say it's bad, it's worse than that.
Yeah, like, it's not... It's confusing to people because it's not like Disney's losing money.
Right.
But they're underperforming compared to what the analysts and also their own forecasts were projecting. And that's when you take an absolute bloodbath on your stock price, which is like your primary performance indicator for a publicly traded company. And there would be lots of hard meetings for Bob Chapek and the rest of the C-suite. It would be bad times.
Right. Okay. So before we get too far into that, because a lot of the stuff I was hearing as a non-accountant, mm-hmm. basically, was, yes, people being, I mean, a lot of people on Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that are just anti-Chapek anyway.
Yeah.
But then a lot of it was the ones that were like, oh, but yay Disney, was still like, well, you know, we had COVID and stuff. But the thing that mm-hmm. you're saying mm-hmm. is the analysts take that into account when they're making these projections.
Yeah. Yeah. So... Your analysts will know the kind of the conditions and like what the business is up against and what their primary revenue generating streams are, mm-hmm. and they're going to make their best guess as to what's going to happen and either meet or beat that, and then that's good.
Yeah.
But if you come under it, then they go, oh, and your stock price takes a hit.
Yeah.
In this case, they missed it by 50%, which
a lot.
Is enormous, like that's extreme. So they start freaking out when it's like 6-7% under. 50%
wow.
is huge, like mind-bogglingly huge.
Wow. Okay. And I just want to like specify, this isn't Disney Parks. This is the whole Disney company.
Yeah. So it's movies. It's streaming Disney Plus, and it's the parks as well.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Disney Plus is a hard one right now. They aren't expanding quite as fast anymore as they would like, and it's basically a giant money pit because they're spending all this money to film like exclusive new content, right? So you got all your Marvel shows, you got all your Star Wars shows, you got all the other shows that they're filming.
Well, National Geographic has different shows all the time.
All that
well.
Stuff costs money, and. It's evergreen content for them to put on that streaming service, but you're not going to make that back instantaneously from a $10 a month subscription.
Right.
Even
but the thing
even
is,
though there's like a million people doing that or whatever, right? Like,
and even if they, but if they stop doing that, if they're not putting as much money into that, then they're not bringing in any money from Disney Plus.
Yeah. The subscribers will drop off pretty fast. When there's no content to watch.
Yeah. It's true. Okay, so we've got Disney Plus. That's a concern there.
Mm-hmm.
But again, you would think they would be aware of that in their projections.
Yeah, maybe they just thought it was going to grow subscriber base was going to grow more than it did. I don't know.
Like it's hard because you had Disney Plus come out just before everyone was stuck at home for 2 years.
Yes.
Right? So you're growing way more during that time, and all of a sudden people are leaving, and they're canceling subscriptions just to everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's... okay, so there's the Disney Plus question. Movies, what movies?
Well, Lightyear? Yeah, Lightyear was a big failure. When does Strange World come out?
The fact that we don't know that and we are complete Disney nerds is very concerning.
We've seen lots of trailers for it, but
I wouldn't even say lots.
Well,
I've seen some trailers
Some trailers for it. I'm not excited for it.
Which is too bad, because
it's
break
cool.
It
it's
down,
an original property. I don't know, but it looks and they're kind of, seems like they're kind of dumping it. I don't know.
See, that's what gets me, is if I was just looking at the trailer and just taking it at face value, I'd probably be excited to see it, but it really feels, I've hardly seen anything for it. And we've seen a couple trailers, like you said, but it feels like they're dumping it. So now I'm like, oh, cool. So there's like nothing good about it then, I guess? Because like, I'm not excited to see it, because if they're not excited about it, why would I be?
Yeah. So that's not great. The Marvel movies are like failure proof.
Well, yeah, Marvel's gonna make money even if it's garbage, basically. Like, and I mean, Marvel doesn't make garbage, but if it's garbage compared to the other good stuff Marvel has done, your worst Marvel movie is still making money.
Well, so your perfect example of that is the latest Thor movie.
Yep.
Basically panned worse than Thor 2.
Yep.
I don't think it was worse than
Thor. I don't think so
either. Thor 2. But like critics and audiences didn't like it. But it's still made like more money than most movies could dream of in its first weekend. Like
exactly.
So whatever.
It's opening night it did better. It did what a lot of movies wish they could do.
Yeah.
So Marvel's not losing money anytime soon. And that is with all of the like they cost a lot to make too. So
yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, so movies are meh.
But they're not having like with the exception of Marvel, they're not really putting a lot into their movies either.
Yeah.
Like I get that they actually kind of tried to put some stuff into Lightyear and it fizzled, but they also released it when people are still not going to movie theaters very much and things like that. Like they're trying to figure out this weird movie thing. We're not going to a movie unless it's a Marvel movie probably.
Well, we have. I would go to movies anytime, anywhere, but we
going to
a movie. Going to a movie for us is an outing. The closest movie theater is like a solid half an hour drive on
the
highway.
And they play one movie a week.
Yeah, so.
And it's Canadian winter right now. So, but what I'm saying is, like, we're not making a trip to go see a movie unless it's something that's like really.
Yeah.
It's got to probably be Marvel, quite frankly. What have we seen in theaters that wasn't Marvel? Over the last year. Has there been anything?
No.
I don't think so, hey?
No.
No. Last 2 years? Yeah, right? Like, since before COVID. We've only, with the exception of, we had a theater that was doing, like, classic movies and stuff like that during COVID when they couldn't get any movies released, like, during the height of it.
True,
with the exception of that, we only were traveling to go see Marvel. So, and I wanted to see Lightyear, but I don't know. Like, so movies, that is like a new frontier for them they're figuring out. And it's not, with the exception of Marvel, they're not bringing in a bunch of money from them.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see, because Indiana Jones is coming out pretty
soon. I will want to go see Indiana Jones. I want to go see that. I want to go see it on the big screen.
Very worried about that. But
me too, but I want to go see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to give it the benefit.
That's the non-Marvel movie we saw in theaters, the new Ghostbusters.
We did go see the new Ghostbusters.
That was good.
Right. Okay. That was really good. Makes you feel better, hey?
Yeah, I'm like,
We talked.
I like going to see movies.
I love
in theaters.
Going to see movies. That's like a whole thing for us. But, you know, so it's this movie going in general is not what it used to be.
No, it's not. It's not. But it is coming back a little bit.
Yeah, but do you think they're like, surely they have to be considering that. And I'm just thinking about, like, all the different facets of the Disney company, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they missed the earnings target by that much. I don't understand it.
Okay, so if Disney Plus makes sense.
It's not because they're not selling annual passes.
Well, okay, so I'm getting to the parks thing. Because we talk Disney Plus, we talk movies is like a weird question mark. They dumped a bunch of money into Lightyear, which I wanted to see. We didn't go see it. Still haven't seen it.
Yeah, Lightyear lost money.
Right?
Like,
it lost
maybe
money.
Barely broke even, maybe.
I honestly think they should have reversed Strange World and Lightyear.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Because Lightyear was so weird.
Lightyear took the wind out of Strange World sales because they look similar.
Yeah.
Both sci-fi.
But if you had
animated stuff.
I think Strange World was an easier sell than Lightyear.
Well, no, they thought Lightyear was an easier sell.
Yeah, well, they were wrong.
It's an established property, right?
Yeah, but that it was a weird version of an established property, and people couldn't figure that out.
But I can see why they would think that Lightyear is an easier sell.
They think the average public is smarter than they are,
or dumber than they are. That's what they think. They're
right.
Like, oh, okay, well, you've seen this before, so you'll go see it now.
Yeah, but they also were assuming that everyone would realize that it wasn't, that it was the astronaut, not the toy.
I mean, that was kind of weird.
The whole thing was weird. But anyway, I honestly think they would have done better with Strange World coming out first.
Yeah, probably, but they didn't.
But they didn't. So that was the movies. That was Disney Plus. The other big facet of it, of course, other than, like, is the travel stuff. Cruise lines, well, they knew cruise lines were closed for a while, and now they're reopened, so that's one thing. The Star Wars hotel is a whole lot of questions on that one.
Yeah, and that's tied into the parks as well.
Yeah, but and then the parks in general, because that's coming up with the other news.
Mm-hmm.
The parks is a weird animal, because they have guaranteed income with the parks. The parks are always solid.
Yeah.
Like, people did not... When people were not going to the parks, It was when they couldn't go to the parks.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as they could, they did. And yeah,
the parks are a license to print money. They just want to print more money.
Yeah,
always want to print more money. Yeah. So the demand on parks, I would say, from a, like a business case perspective, is pretty inelastic, which means it's the demand's always going to be there. That's how they can raise prices every single year without fail and not affect attendance at all.
Because in one breath, people are complaining about how much it costs, and the other breath, they're complaining about how busy it is.
Mm-hmm.
People are paying to go, says us who have our tickets.
Exactly. And so they're looking at extracting more money. That's like the change to Lightning Lane, all the a la carte Lightning Lane stuff is just a way to get more money.
Create revenue where there was none before.
Some of the additional experiences, which some of them were from before COVID, like a few years ago, like all the Star Wars, like your build a droid, your build a lightsaber.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah.
extra revenue that you didn't have before.
Right.
And so that's what they're kind of looking at. But the big talk is annual passes, because since COVID, they've, in both North American theme parks, they've had issues. Like, they've stopped selling it for different periods of time of annual passes. And they're also approaching it a little different on each coast.
So, we've talked about this before, but just, like, if you haven't heard or if you don't know, if you're not, like, a parks person, I guess...
Mm-hmm.
Disney World and Disneyland are very, very different in compared with annual passes. Disney World is primarily a traveler's park. You have some people who have annual passes, but it's like, I don't remember what it was, like 20% or less kind of thing.
Yeah, if that, right?
At one point, they said over 75% of attendees at Disneyland are annual pass holders.
Right.
And most of those are very local. They're like Southern California.
Yeah, and so, and that comes a lot down to like just the geography of the where the parks are.
Totally.
Disneyland is, it was built in the middle of an orange grove, but L.A. and Anaheim have basically merged to one giant city now. Like, and so you're in a major metropolitan area.
Oh yeah.
Where Disneyland is, and there's going to be a lot of people that live there. And hey, if they're close by and they have an annual pass, then they can go more often, and it's cheaper for them.
Totally.
Whereas Orlando is a resort town.
Yeah.
There isn't housing near, like, Disney World is a giant, massive property that was built in the middle of a swamp.
And it was supposed to be that way. It was supposed to be on its own.
There's nothing around it except Disneyland hotels.
Right.
And then some other hotels that are a little farther away. But it's, there's no residential areas. Like, so local, there's no locals.
Right. No one's jumping in their Uber, or very few people anyway.
Yeah.
Like, almost no one is jumping in their Uber to go, like, a lot of traditional APs, right, in Disneyland would say, I'd go there after work for supper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that doesn't happen in Disney World.
No, not really. Like, not to any significant amount.
Mm-hmm. So, after this earnings call, as part of this whole thing, they made some changes. Let's talk Disney World first, because it's a shorter discussion.
Sure.
Pricing changes on entrance to Disney parks, and now they have changed prices depending on which park you're going to. So there's been often been said that certain things like, say, Animal Kingdom is not a full-day park. Well, now it costs less to go to Animal Kingdom than it does, say, Magic Kingdom.
Right.
Right? So now the price difference is not only... Like, we have in Disneyland when it's by day, exactly, but it's also by park.
By park.
And people are kind of upset about this, but I kind of, like, I get it.
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
If I'm like, I'm pricing out per trip, like, which day I'm spending in which park, I don't want to spend the same amount for, I'll keep with the same ones, Magic Kingdom and Animal Kingdom, because, like, why? So
or
if
Epcot,
I,
like,
right?
Although lots of people really like Epcot.
Well, and especially now, there's like a bunch of people.
They have done more. Epcot was my least favorite park when I went, but that was 20 years ago. So
you were also like 16.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not really made for 16-year-olds.
No.
Well, now that you have like people are just be doing like the Drinking Around the World challenge, but you also have all the new attractions.
Yeah, there's lots of stuff to do there now. So
yeah.
I don't know.
But anyway, so that is one change that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one is, of course, on Disneyland.
Yeah. So people are still harping about the reservation system, but that's not going anywhere. And that's not having literally any impact on revenue.
Okay, revenue aside, what do you honestly think about the reservation system? Because I know a lot of people are like, meh, and other people are like, I don't care.
I can see why annual pass holders hate it. It doesn't, as us as out-of-towners...
We have to plan anyway.
It doesn't affect us at all.
I kind of like it, actually. I feel like you get rewarded for being organized and planning.
Yeah.
And we are organized people who plan, so I kind of like it.
We would already know what parks we're going to on what day anyway.
Right.
So, forcing us to lock into that doesn't, it literally doesn't change anything.
No, it doesn't make any,
so,
it's like another click of the button for us.
Yeah. So I, it doesn't affect planned travelers.
Right.
At all.
No.
Last minute travelers, it would be really bad for. And
right.
APs, it would be kind of bad for, because
depending
then
on
they have
tier
to
tier of AP.
Well, no, any tier.
Yeah.
You have, because you have to plan. Before they would just be, oh, I'm near Disneyland, I can just go now.
I just mean like the highest tier where there were no blackout dates, they wouldn't even look at the calendar kind of thing, right? The other ones are at least have to know whether or not they were blacked out. That's just the only thing I mean.
Yeah, no, it is rough for APs, because they would have to plan where they would not normally plan.
I'm going to sound like such a bag here, but I mean, I've heard APs say it as well. Like, highest tier APs now, highest tier Magic Kingdom and everything else.
Well,
they had it so good for so long. Yeah, it's rough for them, but just because they're not used to it.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't have much sympathy for them, but I can see why it would be a rude awakening.
Yeah, that's more the thing. It's a rude awakening. Yeah.
Anyway, so in that light, they had the new Magic Key program with the reservations.
Yep.
They had that for a while. They slowly
after COVID,
it was August of 2021. They brought those in, and then they slowly started selling out the different types of passes. And then there was like a period where reservations for the annual passes, because they were in a separate bucket, were really hard to get, and people are really upset, and there's lawsuits, blah, 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 blah,
blah, blah, blah,
blah,
blah,
blah,
blah, blah, blah.
They haven't been selling them for a really long time.
Yes.
And then shortly after this earnings call came out, basically Thursday, I think it came.
I think it was something like that.
They started selling them again.
Yeah.
For like 16 hours.
I was going to say, they didn't make the 24-hour mark. I remember that.
Yeah.
They started selling at like 9 a.m. local time, I think, and they stopped at like 7 p.m. or maybe overnight. I'm not even sure, because, of course, online sales. Yeah. So this is super interesting. So renewals, they had started allowing earlier in the fall. Well, like late summer, early fall.
Yeah. So if you have one, you can renew it. You always have been able to renew it.
Yes.
They're not kicking you off it if you pony up your money
when it
comes due.
Let's also remember something. When you could buy, and like I keep saying in passes, the Magic Keys, when they first started selling them in 2021, people from out of country were not allowed to cross into the States. And it was dissuaded from crossing state lines. So the only people who had Magic Keys, or I shouldn't say the only, most of the people who had Magic Keys were locals.
Yeah.
Or at least local, you know, with quotation marks around it, right? So then when they started, they opened up a little bit after that, but they didn't sell them for very long before they stopped selling them.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you were renewing, you were still local. So this was the first time, this short little several hour window, when people were able to buy who maybe were from out of state, or even like we were out of country. We did not buy annual passes, by the way.
No. I'm still kind of interested, but there's no tier that really works for us for the price range that it's at.
Yeah. So if we were doing one, the tier that kind of works, because considering blackout dates and school calendar, is the second highest. It's quite expensive. So to make it worth it, we would have to be doing no other travel that year. And we'd have to make a point to go to the parks like a lot. Which
minimum of three times.
Minimum of three,
yeah.
Whereas before we were like, oh, I mean, if we do it twice, then it's worth it. But now it has to be at least three. Four preferable. I would still be interested, but we have to plan in advance to be like, this is the year we're not doing anything except.
Yeah.
Right? So maybe we'll do that, or maybe they're going to revamp the system again. I don't know.
Yeah, that remains to be seen. I am shocked that they jumped into selling them.
Yeah.
And I'm more shocked that they turned it off so fast. Me too.
They literally turned it off in like you said, like 16 hours. If.
People were in the queue quite early, and they were in the queue for 12, 14 hours, and then they got a message saying, oh, we're sold out. Too bad for you. I would be so mad.
So mad. I am just on like the forums and stuff like that I'm on. I had people who were like giving updates, and some who had successfully bought, and then some who had it open on like laptop, iPad, phone, went to bed, woke up again. They had hardly moved in the queue, and then of course found out that they were sold out. I would be like livid. I'd be more upset though if your turn had come up while you were sleeping.
Yeah, that's tough. I'm just really surprised that they jumped into selling them and turned it off so fast, because all that does is upset people.
Yeah, I don't understand why they would do that.
I don't get it. Like,
so here's,
they can't have made that much money in such a short. Okay, so yeah, we're talking about them being under their earnings target in billions of dollars.
Yeah,
like
they did not make billions of dollars in less than 24 hours.
Their net profit was something like $21 billion in the last quarter.
Right.
A few dozen hours of selling annual passes isn't
it's not doing it.
That's maybe a couple million, like
I
very tiny amount in comparison.
And like, so a lot of people right away were like, oh, it's annual pass holders who are gonna save it.
No,
that isn't it. I don't know. This actually I think looks worse for the company than anything.
Because
it was like freaking out defensive, and then by turning it off again, it's like you can't even make up your mind on what to do.
Yeah, so I can't even,
like, why would they even turn it off? They didn't sell out.
Well, I guess they did.
Well, they said they sold out, but you can, with a company like that, you can sell out. You decide what number is selling out is the thing, right?
Yeah, they have a target of number of annual pass holders that is ideal in their mind.
Yeah.
And they reach that number very quickly again.
Well, but the thing is, a lot of people are saying Chapek, but like from a business standpoint, we've said this before, they don't want to rely on annual pass holders.
No.
They want to rely on out-of-towners. But if out-of-towners rely
is the wrong term there. They would prefer to have single-day ticket guests because they're going to spend more money. Yeah.
They're more likely to spend all day in the park, which means all meals, which means merchandising.
Yeah.
Which means, oh, we're here for a short amount of time. We're going to buy all the souvenirs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? As opposed to the people who used to go there for supper. They're going for supper and then leaving. That's a very different...
It is very different, but you still need the facilities for that guest that's there for a few hours versus the guest that's there all day and spending
that's the whole thing.
$1,000.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
So
they'd rather have the ones in the park. They're spending thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Per day,
which makes sense.
100%. I mean, if you were an annual pass holder and you spent thousands up front, sure. But if I'm going the same amount of days, because some go all the time and that's fine. Most annual pass holders go, maybe once a month. On average.
Yeah.
Ish, right?
Yeah, every couple weeks, maybe.
Yeah, something like that. You're not spending thousands of dollars every time you go.
No, you're not excited to go build your lightsaber the third time you've been that month, right?
Exactly.
It is.
That is the way it is. And so they want more single-day holders who are going to spend more money. So, I don't know. It seemed desperate. This, like, weird
key holders. Very weird. I'm curious to see how it progresses, what the next quarter is financially.
If I was investing, like if I had billions of dollars and was like a high level investor in this company, that would make me panic.
Yeah,
watching them do this.
Yeah, from a shareholder perspective, it's not the best reaction to things.
I would feel better if they hadn't done anything.
Mm-hmm. Like,
because then it's like, oh, you clearly know what you're doing and you have a plan, as opposed to this like panic. It's not good.
It seems unplanned, but I don't know. Maybe we just don't know the whole story. Like,
and the other thing is, they have not released a statement about this, other than, you know,
just
sold
the
out.
Message that popped up, and we've sold out.
Yeah, which is crazy. I also want to say, like, it sounds like we're down on annual pass holders and magic key holders. We're not. There's just like a sense of entitlement that like other people want to use the park too.
Yeah,
and also we're thinking about it like, this makes sense from a Disney business perspective. So, like, everyone can get upset all they want about, you know, money grabbing and stuff like that. Every CEO has had dollar signs in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Chapek, maybe not. He has not had much success. He's had a whole lot of failures, which is, you know, he's definitely not my favorite CEO on the planet. But then again, there's one who might be worse.
I don't have any favorite CEOs on this planet.
But do you know what I mean? Like, he's a... I don't know what other people expect. And even people are always like, oh, well, Walt wouldn't have liked that. Maybe not. Walt also charged per ride. So...
Yeah, and he wasn't the CEO. He wasn't.
He was like a creator who,
yeah,
like...
He was like the creative director or whatever, yeah, like the president,
like,
and...
Here are my cool ideas. Make them happen.
Roy was your CEO.
Yeah, Roy was also... Like, it's hard to not like Roy.
he had his eye focused on that dollar sign.
Of course he did. He tried to talk Walt
There's
out
a
of
lot
the
of rose-colored glasses looking back on the history of
That's
things.
That's just my point. It's like, so people get upset and like, oh, the company doesn't care. The company cares about the bottom line. All right, so
it's capitalism.
Yeah, look at where the parks are. So let's just remember that. So I don't know. That sounds negative. I don't mean it to sound negative.
I'm just curious to see where it goes. Like,
I really want to see
the Disney
company's
in no danger of going under or anything.
No. My big concern when all this stuff started happening is I don't want them to start laying off cast members.
Well, yeah, laying off people who are just your working class people that just doing their job and living paycheck to paycheck. That's who you worry about for sure. And then on a selfish perspective, I want them to keep investing in
100%.
Entertainment, like movies. I want them to keep doing Disney Plus shows. I want new theme park attractions, theme park expansions. And that's what suffers when you have really terrible earnings reports.
Exactly. So, hey, okay, Disney, we are the people who you want their money. Like, we're exactly the people whose money you want.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, because we're out-of-towners who like souvenirs and want to eat all the Disney food. Mm-hmm. But we only go very little. So we're going to do it all while we're there.
Oh, yeah.
You want our opinion. Keep investing in those things. Mm-hmm. And then we keep spending the monies. The other selfish thing is, we said before, the parks are fairly... Again, the word reliable isn't the right word. But they're the place where you have a captive audience. Where if you're raising prices on something, it's going to be the parks. People are going to, you know, still buy their churros.
But don't take it too for granted, because it will fall off eventually.
Yes. Well, that's the thing. It's like a weird balancing act, right?
It won't. There's inertia there, so it won't show up. It might be tough from a corporate executive perspective to understand that if you don't invest in this, it's eventually going to end.
Yeah, it's going to fizzle.
But you have to know that, and I hope they do.
I hope so.
I hope they do.
I hope so. Oh, that was a lot of business.
Yeah. I'm a businessman doing business.
Anything else to add about this whole earnings stuff, other than just curious to watch?
Yeah, I'm curious to see, like, Black Panther's going to give a good shot to the old balance sheet coming up this quarter.
And the other thing you got to remember is, this Disney's 100th anniversary next year. People are going to be spending money on everything Disney.
There's going to be a lot of merch. And there's a bunch more Marvel films coming out.
It's true. Yeah, that is 100% true.
So
I'm curious. I'm very curious. I was really hoping before we recorded this, there'd be some kind of weird news or statement or something about the weird magic key situation.
Very strange.
On a different note, we talked about Critter Country last week.
We did.
And we did some trivia. Do you want to know how you did?
Not good, but that's because it was weird questions.
You got one. Oh, it's always the question's fault if you get it wrong, right?
Yeah.
You got one out of three correct.
Yeah.
Okay, so question. Are you ready to hear it all?
Sure.
Question number one. I asked you what the working title was of Splash Mountain before it was called Splash Mountain. This is what you said.
Briar Patch?
So it was the Briar Patch Run.
Sure.
The answer is actually the Zippity-Doo-Dah River Run.
Okay.
Yeah. You weren't that crazy.
No.
Well, yeah, that's good. All right. Question number two. I asked you about where you could find the homage to
Country Bear Jamboree.
Yeah. In, and this is what you said.
Well, probably the heads from the Country Bear Jamboree. You got...
And you are 100% correct. It is the heads if you turn around at that part. Yeah, yeah. That's one of my favorite Easter eggs in all of Disney, though. Although, there's some really cool ones. What were we watching? I think it was it Provost Pass on YouTube? And they were pointing out different, like, previous, like, attractions that you could find in the parks. And that's really cool. That's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, and the last one I asked you about was Rufus the Bear. Now, Rufus the Bear was when it was still Bear Country. He was a character that was just like, he wasn't like the mascot, but he was like one of the mascots because he was a bear, and you used to be able to find him just as you entered Bear Country when it was still Bear Country. I asked you where you could, because you can still find him, kind of. I asked you where you could find the reference to him now. This is what you said.
In the Hungry Bear restaurant.
He's actually on the Splash Mountain ride.
Okay.
So just, I think it's just before the first drop, you can hear a bear snoring. And that used to be what you heard when you walked into Bear Country. And there was like a little sign that was like, home of Rufus or whatever. And
that's scary. You don't want to wake up a sleeping bear. No, you don't. Very angry and bitey.
You might be happy to be on the waterfall.
Yeah.
At that point. But yeah, so next time you're on it, while there's still bears, keep an eye out.
Yeah, I think we got one.
We got one more ride. Yeah. Well, we're going to ride more than once. But
early in the day, because it could be cold.
Yeah, so we need some time to warm up. But yes, right? Either I think it's just before the first drop, you go like around the corner.
I remember hearing the story.
Yeah,
there.
That's Rufus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's cool, right?
Sure.
Yeah, I think it's cool. All right, so
you might need a sleep apnea machine, though. That's a
loud snoring.
That's a very aggressive snoring.
He's warning people not to wake him up.
Yeah.
Let sleeping bears lie.
Yeah, I'm just worried about his sweet sleep quality.
I'm sure he appreciates that. Well, that is our show for this week. Thanks, El Mule, who's responsible for the custom theme song you heard at the top of the show. You can find a link to his work as well as all of our social media accounts at disneya.wixsite.com/podcast. You can also email us through there. And you can find us on YouTube at Adventures A. If you've rated or reviewed our podcast, thank you. And if you haven't, you should do that. What are you doing? Why haven't you done that yet?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, if you have reviewed us and you would like a Christmas card, we've got those coming in the mail to be sent out soon. 'Tis the season.
Featuring the graphical design stylings of one Krista.
Yes, that's true. I did design them. Although I will say, you know what the highlight is of the Christmas card? There's a picture of our puppy on it.
Yeah. Very majestic derp.
Oh, well, the best part is she's covered in snow. It's very seasonally appropriate. So if you've already sent one in, that's great. If not, make sure you do that. We'll be sending those out right at the end of the month or maybe like the first day or two of December. So you have like a week or so. If you've rated or viewed us and you want to make sure you get a Christmas card, easiest way is either through email or find me on Instagram, because who knows how long Twitter's going to be around. Instagram's probably the safest bet.
Speaking of Twitter not being around, you should go check out all my live tweets.
Oh, yeah, while you still can.
While you still can.
They were so good.
Yeah, they are.
Speaking of live tweets, do you want to watch another movie?
No, I don't. I think it's your turn.
Oh, it's my turn?
I think it's your turn.
Yeah? 'Tis the season?
It is.
We're going to do a blind date with Disney, and I've gotten off pretty easy the last few times. You've had to do whole series.
Yeah, I'm not trilogies.
I'm not doing a series, but I will do one.
Yeah. I'll find something good for you.
Okay. It is time for a blind date with Disney, and you're going to pick something festive for me, you said, to kind of kick off our Christmas season.
I'll try. I don't know.
Something kind of festive, festive?
You've watched most of the lame Christmas movies already, so.
That was the problem I had. I picked, your first one was a festive one last year, and the problem was I had seen almost all of them.
Yeah. Oh, that was a bad one last year, too.
Life Size, right?
Yeah.
Oh, Life Size Part 2. Okay, I'm sorry. Be nice. I like you. You're a very nice man. So anyway, that is our kickoff to the holiday season is next week. So I'm Krista.
I'm Brandon.
And until that next adventure, TTFN, ta-ta for now. Thanks for listening to Disney A.
You're old.
So that's kind of, thank you, same age.
Oh, right.